Well, first up tonight, we're going to be talking about using radar from space to map the Earth. Our guest will be Canadian Jim Gower. Now, to set the scene, here's fellow Canadian Laurie Anderson with a track that she calls, quite simply, Radar. The European Resources Satellite has been used by German scientists to prepare a map showing the hills and valleys on the ocean surface. That's right, hills and valleys on the ocean surface. Using radar signals from the satellite, the researchers were able to measure the ocean height, ignoring the effects of the waves and ocean swells. The results were quite surprising. When viewed from a ship or an aircraft, the ocean looks totally flat. Apart from the waves, of course. But when viewed from space, the satellite's radar altimeter shows broad hills and valleys. These can rise up to 85 metres above mean sea level or sink to 105 metres below mean sea level. Now, these variations are caused by major differences in the Earth's gravity field, by currents flowing over the trenches and mountains on the ocean floor, and by water piling up against the edges of the continents. The ocean level here in Victoria is about the world average, but it rises steadily as one travels north along our eastern seaboard. At Cape York, the water is 85 metres higher than it is here in Victoria. Now, fortunately, this ocean hill appears to be permanent. Otherwise, all of Queensland's beach resorts and the Great Barrier Reef would be well and truly high and dry. Our other watery mounds occur south of Africa and northwest of Europe. The biggest valley is the ocean surrounding India, which is 100 metres below that here in Victoria. This broad valley quite clearly shows where India has drifted over the past several hundred million years, indicating that it has left a trail where the gravity field is less than elsewhere. Now, this European satellite, of course, has been in orbit now for a couple of years. It was preceded before that by an American satellite called CSAT, but it failed after a short time. Now, one of the people who's involved in the current Canadian radar satellite mission called RadarSat is Jim Gower. He works for the Institute of Ocean Sciences in Sydney, Canada. That's Sydney, Canada, not Sydney, Australia. And I spoke to Jim about what this American satellite called CSAT did and some of the sorts of things you can do with a radar satellite from outer space. Good evening, Jim. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
The Americans put up a satellite some years ago called CSAT. What was it about and what eventually happened to it?
Now, this was the really dramatic step that America took to demonstrate what satellites could do for oceanographers. And they put all the interesting things, as it seemed to us at the time, onto the one satellite and launched it. And it really was pretty neat. In fact, we're still going through the data that came off that satellite for the brief time it lasted, which is the rest of the story, I guess, working out what it all meant and seeing how we could improve on it.
This satellite was quite a big one for its day. Why was it so big?
Well, as I said, it was largely because they wanted to put a number of sensors on it. Maybe One main point was because they had this so-called synthetic aperture radar on board, and radars tend to take up space. Partly they need to have a fairly large antenna to send their signal out, and partly they are very power hungry, and so they need big solar panels. So really a radar satellite tends to be a sort of flying solar power station coupled to a flying transmitter facility, like a big antenna with a big power station tied to its back, circling around the Earth.
Now, most people, of course, would have either seen radar or seen it in the movies, and you get a little circular screen that people peer out, and a little arm goes round and round, and you get this bloop sort of effect.
That's right.
Now, you sometimes see at the airports these things going round and round and round. Now,
yeah.
On a satellite, of course, that sort of technology wouldn't be appropriate. So I believe CSAT used a different method of scanning the ground.
Right. CSAT used what they call a side-looking radar, where basically the satellite moves forward and that scans the ground for you, so you don't have to worry about rotating anything round. You just keep looking out sideways, and a big swath of imagery gets illuminated, as we say, by the radar signal, and imaged. And thanks to this synthetic aperture technique, which is one of the really neat new ideas since the war, I guess, of how you could use radar, one gets a picture which is so stunningly sharp that it's quite common that people don't realize they're looking at a radar image. I mean, it tends to be black and white because most of the images we have so far are just one frequency band, one type of radar. But they're so sharp, they're just beautiful images. They just look like a picture.
Yeah, they look like photographs, don't they?
Look like a photograph, yes. Yeah.
And what do we find out from this? I mean, why would we want to just scan across the Earth and the oceans?
Right.
What on earth can you see in the oceans using a radar, for heaven's sakes?
Well, come on, that's what... every ship that goes out there has a radar on board. They know what they're going to see.
But they're looking for ships.
Well, sometimes we're looking for ships. That was one of the really interesting bits of work that came out of the CSAT. Now, CSAT, as I hinted earlier, didn't last nearly as long as we'd hoped. In fact, it crashed. Its equipment failed rather permanently and dramatically after roughly 100 days. So we talk about the 100 days of CSAT in hushed awe still. But in that time, it collected enough pictures that people who want to know how to follow ships from space got a lot of nice images to look for ships on. And there's some beautiful examples of ships which you see either because you can see the ship itself as a bright spot or because the ship tends to leave a wake line. And on a radar, wake lines show up so incredibly beautifully. There are cases where you could see the wake line for hundreds of kilometers behind a ship. And in some cases, which are sort of more interesting and maybe more shameful, we feel that one of the reasons those wake lines show up so well is because the ship was quietly dumping oil, pumping its bilges as it went along, and leaving a streak across the ocean, which if they could see these radar images, they might be more careful. I mean, not because it's bad to make streaks on radar images particularly, but you are very obvious if you're caught with one of these radars leaving a streak.
So a radar satellite could actually be used to check on illegal oil dumping and stuff.
Oh, that's right. And there are examples where people have done this. I mean, there are cases where the streak is there behind the ship. They can talk to the local port authority about what was that ship that just left, and here's the picture of it leaving a streak. And basically it comes down to the fact that there's often few regulations to haul somebody before the court.
So how come the oil streak shows up on the radar image? Oil doesn't reflect radar.
But oil, as is well known, calms troubled waters. And that's what happened. What the radar responds to is the roughness of the water. It's basically a roughness measurer. And something like oil on the water calms it, leaves a flat, calm slick just behind the ship in this case. And one sees this long, flat line.
And what else? The satellite wasn't put up just to look for oil slicks. What was the main purpose for putting up CSAT?
What it was put up for in that case was to be an ocean roughness mapper and look at the things we felt fairly sure you would get out from roughness variations. And one of the important things we knew you would get is that if you have enough spatial resolution, you can see the roughness changes that are implied by surface waves. And I shouldn't really just talk about roughness there. Let's say the brightness to the radar due to surface waves. And the brightness changes come apart partly because The tops of waves are actually rougher than the bottoms of waves, which is an observation people have been able to make from various ships and towers and so on. And partly because when you're looking out sideways with a radar, as you could imagine, you'd expect probably to get more signal back from the front of the wave, where the wave's tipped up, to tend to reflect radar back to you, than from the back of the wave. Then there are all sorts of very interesting and complicated phenomena which come about because of this so-called synthetic aperture technique, which basically maps Doppler shifts of targets on the sea. And waves have the most extraordinary Doppler shifts. Well, it's not the... let's call it wave speed, because it really does get quite complicated. Yes. It's the speed at which the little capillary waves, which resonate with the radar that you're sending down, the speed at which they're moved over the surface by the circulation of the waves. So it's the speed a kayaker feels, more than the speed at which a wave, you know, which seems to go roaring past you if you're... if you're on a fixed tower or something, watching the sea going past.
Okay. Well, given that the waves are made by wind,
mm-hmm.
does this tell you anything about the wind speed over the ocean, if you can measure the size and speed of the waves?
Yes. That would, in a sense, be going backwards, I guess. People who measure waves tend to be interested in the waves per se. There are other instruments which measure the wind speed from a satellite. So if you just want the wind speed, you probably don't go to the trouble of putting up an imaging radar. Partly because what an imaging radar does, as I said, to make a picture, it just looks out in one direction. And if you look in one direction, you'll see the roughness of the water caused by wind. But if the wind was blowing from another direction, you might see effectively a different roughness, because it does matter which way the wind is blowing. And to answer that problem, we actually have instruments called scatterometers, and there was one on CSAT, and there hasn't been one for a long time since, but there's now one on ERS-1, the next satellite. And the scatterometer actually looks out, not exactly sideways, it looks out sort of forwards of sideways and measures how rough the ocean appears in that direction, and then it looks out backwards of sideways and checks how rough it is in that direction. And then if you imagine the satellite moving forwards, it sees a point on the surface, on that particular side anyway, it sees it, first looking forwards at it, and then after it's passed looking backwards at it. And you can put those two measurements of roughness together to estimate both the speed and the direction of the wind.
I mention that because I've seen photographs, or rather data, maps, mm-hmm. prepared from the CSAT data, which show the wind speeds in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
And that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, That's exactly the kind of thing they're working on.
Yes.
With that. If you combine a model with the satellite data, the ambiguities in most cases disappear, and you get these lovely maps of the ocean where the eddies, you know, the cyclones and the anticyclones, there they all are with the little arrows circling around, and where a satellite goes across, it sort of lays down a map for you of all these wind speeds, which is really quite dramatic. I mean, up in our part of the world, in the northern hemisphere, people say, well, in fact, there's enough ship traffic up there that we knew a lot about the wind speeds. But it's the southern oceans people talk about that makes such a difference, where it makes such a difference. Wind mapping of weather patterns, wind patterns in the southern ocean, turns out to be the interesting topic.
Right.
And if somebody wants to demonstrate the value of satellite data in this regard, they tend to come to the Australian area and pick an example from down there and say, this is what the Australians thought the wind was doing, but
this is
what it actually was doing. That's right.
Right.
And then you can get some very beautiful examples of total difference.
Oh, well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Jim, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay here in Australia.
Thank you very much. I'm sure I will.
And that was Jim Gower from the Institute of Ocean Sciences in Sydney, Canada. Now, data from a European satellite will be used in conjunction with ship-based seismic surveys to find oil under the ocean. British scientists have begun a program to use radar data from the first European resources satellite to show how ocean level is affected by local gravity fields many kilometres below the sea surface, and this will provide clues to the underlying geology. Radar will also show natural oil seepage because of the calming effect this oil has on waves. This changes the reflectivity of the ocean surface, and when combined with ship-based seismic tests, geologists will have a new set of exploration tools. The British National Remote Sensing Centre plans to sell the satellite data to oil exploration companies.